everybody did such a beautiful job this morning on the Sunday school lesson. Those that didn't hear it need to get in and be a part of it from now on. But it reminded me of a situation. He was talking about tithing and he was talking about giving. And several years ago, I used to use the expression the other day, if it wasn't the day, it had to be someday in the last 55 years, you know. So that way I don't have to remember dates and time. But some years away, back when the Lord, how many of you know that when you move into a new house, you always start arranging it the way you want it? How many of you know God does the same thing? When He moves into your life, He starts arranging your life like He wants it. Now I know you get the excitement and the salvation and the forgiveness, but then there's always little pictures on the wall and things that are special to you. And God will do the same thing. And even Brother Scott even talking about tithing. And I was so used to taking, and in my giving, we were on the evangelistic field and still are today, but as a result of it, I was in my home church and it had a revival, and a friend of ours from up in Detroit was preaching it. And I'm so used to God just speaking when the offering gives, Him just speaking to me and telling me what to give. Well, this particular night He spoke, and I just opened my billfold and had the money in there, and I pulled it out and put it in the plate, and it went on by. And how many of you know when you obey God, you like to let folks know about it a little bit? Can you say amen? Amen. And if it's nobody but you, you look back and say, I obey God. Nobody ever done that besides me. Very satisfied with myself that I was able to do what God wanted me to do, when He wanted me to do it, exactly what He wanted to do. And all of a sudden, I was feeling pretty proud of myself. I guess you call it pride. I don't know. Anyway, satisfied with myself because I had obeyed God. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and He said, how much did you give Him in that offering tonight? And I immediately quoted the amount that God had told me to give in the offering. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, no. He said, I gave Him that. What did you give Him? Wow. Yeah. Took me about a week and a half to digest that. But how many of you know it's not only tithes, but it's tithes and offerings? Come on, somebody now. Amen. And what God tells you to give, and you give it, you didn't give it to Him. God gave it to Him.
Yeah.
That's your tithes.
Yeah.
God told you to give you tithes. That's your tithes. But your offerings are above and beyond. It's what you give. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So it took me about 2 weeks to digest that and get around it. Like Brother Scotty says, you know, you don't always just jump in there and holler, glory to God, that's it, let's go.
Right.
And so when the next time the offering plate come by, God told what give I put in it. And then all of a sudden I thought about what the Lord had told me, so I reached in there and got a little bit more. Throw it in there, and boy, the Spirit of the Lord hit me, and I went dancing all over the house, praising and magnifying God. How many of you know when you go that extra, it's not what God gives you, it's what you give, amen, along with what God gives, amen. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Ron Day. I've been around quite a number of years. We've been full-time evangelists since 1980, and God has blessed and God has touched. And He's the same God now that He was then. Amen?
Amen?
Turn with me. I'm going to be in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29. 28:5 through 29. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and starting in verse 25. Amen? Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not Him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused Him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from Him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Father, asking you and thanking you for the opportunity to stand before your children once again, but asking you now to open the doors of heaven and rain down upon us. And Father, meet every need in this house. Confirm your word this morning with signs and wonders. We'll give you the praise, the glory, the honor for everything that is accomplished in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. And amen. My key verse is verse 27. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Brother Scotty touched on this morning in the teaching of the Sunday school class, but I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning on the subject, these things remain. These things. How many of you have realized that our world is shaking right now? Can you say amen? I mean, it's going downhill in a hurry. From everything all around us, and how many of you know we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Therefore, now while I'm in this world, I still have to pay my light bill. I have to put gas in my car tank. Can you say amen? If I want to ride and not walk, I have to get a car if I don't want to walk. Amen. And how many of you understand that if you're not careful, while you're in this world, the things of this world are temporal. They're going to one day pass away, and the actual reality of eternity is going to come, and we're going to go and be with Jesus where our hearts desire to be and now. As a result of it, when I'm in this world, there are temporal things that I must deal with. I have to deal with family. I have to deal with friends. Some people have to deal with work. Well, we all deal with work one way or the other. And as a result of it, how many of you understand that if you're not careful, the things that are temporary will gain power in your life and become your master if you're not careful in this hour that we're in? In other words, you could get so caught up with needing money that you have to work 7 days a week, or at least you think you will, instead of going back and correcting things and letting God work it out for you. And the next thing you know, people haven't got time to go to church because all they got to do is work now. Work, 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 work. Well, it's the same thing with the COVID. Now, people have gotten to the point to where this temporal thing in our lives has taken such dominance in their life that it has ruined their life. They can't come to church. They can't do anything like that. But how many of you know right in the middle of it, where the Holy Ghost has given us a promise that he is going to shake our lives? Can you say that?
Amen.
When something temporal in your life gets power, it interferes with what God wants to do in your life and with your life. And as a result of it, the only thing that can get rid of it is God Almighty. Brother Scotty said this over and over and over. I'm just saying a little different way of what he was saying this morning. That when this temporal thing gets in our life, then the next thing you know, it keeps us from the abundancy of God's life within us. And in order to go on with the abundance and have the abundance of God, this thing must be removed in our lives. Amen? Mm-hmm. The problem is that I happen to like it there. Come on, somebody. Can you say amen? If I didn't like it there, I'd have got it gone a long time ago. Can you say amen, somebody? You changed jobs, didn't you, because you didn't like it? Amen? And but when it comes to the things of God, we have the things that we are the way we are because we like the way we are. And then God has to come along and show us a better image of ourselves. And that's when we begin to seek to rise up in spirituality and in relationship with him and move on with him. As a result of this in my life, I find myself very content with my life. How many of y'all in here saved this morning? Okay. How many of you happy with your spiritual life the way it is? Uh-huh. If I didn't like me, I'd do something about it, wouldn't you? Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so bless your heart. And we get in this attitude, and that there's nothing there. Let me reword that. We get in this situation, and it prevents us from moving on with God. It prevents us from going on to where God wants us. And therefore, God has got to shake us and wake us up and show us and shake loose some things in our lives. And what he does, it is called circumstances. How many of you know that? And brother, let me tell you, if they're saying, you know, you find your circumstances all upside down, that there's
there's a reason why, amen, that God is trying to shake some of the temporal things in your life, because he wants to get you to the point where you are moved by none of these things except him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
With Jesus, it didn't matter what they did, what they said, what they happened. He was never moved by any of it, because he knew the will of his Father, and he was willing to do the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as a result of this, we live in a world right now that's very vulnerable. It's one that is very hostile to the Christian. And it's going to get more as time goes by, but then that final day is going to come when that trumpet is going to sound and we're out of here by the grace of God, and that's what I'm looking for, amen? Now, as a result of it, how many of you have realized that things have changed a lot, even within the last 6 months, the last year of our world has changed? It's changed a lot in our lives, can you say amen? But that's change. That's something that's going to come. Whether we like it or whether we not, brother, let me tell you, the day is going to come when your back's going to get stooped and your steps a little bit slower, but right in the middle of it, you can still hang on to God and still serve him and go on with God.
Amen.
Our world is changing today. I've never seen the like in my life. I go down the road one day and they three new buildings sitting there. It seems like they built them overnight. And if they were, what are they? Most of them Dollar General. Can you say amen? And bless your heart, you look around and you go down and there's a church over there that wasn't there last month. There's one over yonder. The new grooves that are starting all around us has changed. I look around and in our lives and in our church world, we've got new fads in our world today. Amen. I got to looking the other day, and to my utter amazement, I discovered some things about our world that for years I have thought was true, that has got nothing to do with reality. For instance, I found out that a banana doesn't come from a banana tree. A banana is an herb, amen. I found out that a raccoon is not a raccoon. He is a member of the weasel family, amen. And so bless your heart, I walk around, I hear this voice hollering from this angle, this one over here, and you look around, what can I believe anymore? Dear God, you turn on Facebook, everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got a voice. I read an article on the news, in fact, on Thursday morning, and this lady had gotten convicted or been charged with trying to hire somebody to kill her mother-in-law. And as a result of it, she made a statement. She said, I am a Christian, but I can hire somebody to kill my mother-in-law and repent later for it. Amen. How many of you know it's not that simple, my friend, anymore? It's the belief of the people that's changing. But right in the middle of it, friend, don't you know that we're living in a day and a time when sugar is not sugar anymore. Salt is not salt anymore. Amen. I mean, you look around, and they told me the other day that I could buy a genuine counterfeit diamond and they would send me an authentic certificate of authenticity to prove that it was counterfeit. I thought, dear God, what do I want with anything counterfeit? I don't want something counterfeit. I want the real thing in this hour that we're in. Can you say that? You go down the street, you see your friends. They walk on by, you look at their hair, think, dear God, only their hairdresser knows for sure. Did you say amen?
Amen?
I mean, they change. Somebody told me the other day, said, Brother Day, said, you don't know how old I am. I said, no, but I know one thing. They said, what's that? I said, you got color on that hair. They said, how do you know? I said, because I've known you for 30 years and mine got white. Yours has too, my friend. Brother, we're living in a day and a time of change. You look at the ministries in this hour. We got pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no-trib. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the Godhead. We got every kind of water baptism formula that there is on the face of this earth. And you look at it and you say, what can I believe anymore? Amen. But thank God right in the middle of it, there are some things I can believe. Because I met a man one time that changed this life of mine, set me free with the power of the Holy Ghost,
amen,
and put something in my life that is secure. I know that I've been born again by the power of God. Amen. Right in the middle of it, you know, one government official says this, another one says that. You think, what can I believe? You listen to the Christian. You got Greek Orthodox, Jewish Orthodox, you got Catholic. Did you see on our news now where The Muslim people and the Catholic are joining together to coexist. Oh, read your Bible, honey. This thing is coming down to a close in a hurry in this hour that we're in. And right in the middle of it, they say, well, how do you know that you've been born again, Brother Day? Because I had an experience. It wasn't something that was told me. It wasn't something that was presented to me. It was something that happened down in my heart. I went down on my knee. I cried out through the blood of Jesus, and he delivered me and set me free. And I know that I've had an experience with God.
Amen.
Amen. You see, in this hour, you've done a lot of things you can hang on to, but I can hang on to that experience. They'll argue with you about how many in the Godhead. They'll argue with you about whether to have music in the church or not. But there's one thing they can't argue with me about. Son, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Can you say amen, somebody? Now, what are you saying, Brother Dave? You look around and say, what can you believe? I can believe because I've had an experience. They talk about the Big Bang Theory. They tell us that this thing just called Earth and a universe that, bang, there it was. I tell them God created it. They tell me I'm crazy. Hello? And I said, look, I've got no problem. They say the Earth is so many million years old. I said, I've got no problem with it. Because the God I serve can step out on nothing and speak to something and bang, something going to happen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So I've got no problem. Then the pyramid theory comes in. I don't know a lot about the theology. They can chew me up and spit me out. But there's one thing I do know for sure. I know when he came into my life and what happened to me. You can call him a heretic. You can call him a rebel. You can call him a mystic figment of your imagination. But Jesus is real to me. Amen. In this hour that I'm in. Amen. You look on. I know a man. I don't know about him. Damascus Road. Who art thou? Paul said, I know him. I'm going to find out who he is in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, I don't know about him, but it's actually an experience. It's something that happened. Somebody asked me, said, how do you know you're saved? I said, if you've ever been saved, you don't have to answer that question.
That's right.
Hello? I was listening on the radio. We were over in Atlanta in a revival some years back. On a Sunday morning, I was going downtown for something, and I turned the radio on, was listening to these disc jockeys, this Christian station disc jockey, and they were talking back and forth. They had played their music, and they were talking back and forth, and one of them said, did you go to church yesterday? The other one said, yes, I did. He said, well, said, did you praise and magnify God? He said, I did. He said, did you go out and party Saturday night? He said, I did. Got sot drunk. Amen. Other one looked up and said, yeah. Said, that's the way it is. Said, you know this Jesus thing? Said, that's just a crutch that people lean on. And they turned it out, and I turned it off and went on. I got home. I told Gloria about it. And I said, back to the trailer, I told Gloria about it. I said, they wasn't saved, honey. She said, what makes you say that? How can you say that? I said, because if you've ever felt the touch of the one that created you, you know who he is. You know he's real. It's something in your heart that changes you from what you are into the glorious image of the Son of Almighty God. Amen. I don't know about him. 7.5 billion people in the world today. The majority of them claim they're saved. Either they don't know what it means or I don't want. The way I got saved, you don't live like the devil tomorrow. Hello? You don't run and rip and try to hire people to kill people. Hello, somebody. You read your Bible, you study, you pray, you want to get closer to God. I don't know about him. I know him.
Amen.
Somebody asked me one time, said, prove to me you're saved. I said, all right. They said, well, how are you going to do it, preacher? I said, confess after me.
Yeah, amen.
Hello? Amen. They prayed the prayer. And all of a sudden, the guy's eyes just lit up, Brother Scotty. And he's real, ain't he? He's real. Something happened in here. Amen. You say, well, Brother Day, how could that happen? I don't know how it happened, but I know it happens. Can you say amen? Because I was there when it happened. Old song used to say, real to me, real to me. God is so real to me. Dear Lord, nowadays you can go down to the bookstore, buy a glossy back book and tell you how to believe God, when to believe God. It can tell you what is your rights and under the covenant and everything else. And it can even tell you how to raise your kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Years ago when Jeff, our oldest, was smaller, Dr. Spock, his name was Spock, came out with a book. And in that book, How to Raise Kids, well, Gloria and I got a copy of it. How many of you know you always want to do better with your youngins? Two or three hands up in there. And so it said, if you spank them, you are bruising them for life and mentally abusing them. I thought, all right, I'll try that out. Try it. So I was sitting in the recliner, and I could hear the pots and pans riddling in that account in the kitchen. And I told Jeff, he's a little tight. And I said, get out of that, boy. I heard him rattle again. I said, get out of that. I said, all right, I'm going to count to three. And by the time I get to three, if you hadn't gotten out of it, I'm going to come get you. One, you better get out of that. Two, you better get out of that. One, you better get out of that. Two, you better get out of that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Amen. And all of a sudden I realized that he wasn't going to get out of it. I went in there and I took that book and I taught that, turned that boy across my knee. And I applied the secret of that book to the head of his understanding and the seat of his knowledge, comprehended properly what I wanted, and I didn't have more trouble with it.
Bless you, man.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
So what can you believe? I can believe Jesus. Prove him to me. Look around you. They got their answers. The universe. Everything created. But there's one they hadn't got the answer for. What can take away my sins? Nothing. But the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Now look, you see, it is an experience. As I said, 87. Some theologians will tell you that the prophets of old and the visions that Isaiah and Ezekiel all had was induced, John the Baptist was induced because they ate the bark off of trees out in the wilderness because they didn't have food. They ate the locusts on the height of the trees, and it had a narcotic effect to it. Now, I can't stand up there and I can't argue with them on that. I can't argue with them. They've got all of their philosophy. They've got all they've got out there. And I can't argue with it. But there's one thing I can look at them and I can tell them. I have been born again and I know God. Can you say amen? How many of you in here this morning, that devil come roaring, you just look at it and I say, but I know God. But I know God, hallelujah, but I know God, everything going to be all right, because I know God. Can you say amen? Yeah, I stress the importance, and Brother Scotty has stressed it this morning, of the word. He always does, amen, and word. Live that word, walk that word. But above everything else, know that if things in your heart are right, when you pick that book up, then it'll tell you what your problem is and give you the solution and the power to flow through with it that'll bring deliverance to your life in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
John 9. Got a man. Blind. He comes to Jesus. Jesus reaches down, spits in the mud, wipes it up, puts it in his eyes, tells him, says, go wash. The man goes to wash and comes back with his sight, and Jesus is not there. The scribes, the Pharisees, Nicolaitans, they came and they told him, who done this? We know you were blind from birth. How did you receive your sight? He said, I don't know. He said, how? What happened? He said, all I know is a man took a wad of mud and put it in my eye and told me to go wash it. I did, and when I washed it out, I could see again. They said, what's his name? He said, I know his name. His name is Jesus. Amen. What's he look like? I don't know. I ain't never seen him. But I felt his touch.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, they prove him to what color hair has he got? Red, white, red. Some while back, everybody's having visions of Jesus. He had red hair, black hair. Well, let me tell you, it's white as snow, in case y'all wondering. That's what the Bible says. Can you say amen? His hair is white as snow. Hallelujah. And the man said, I don't know what he looks like. Well, tell us where we can go find him. I don't know what he looks like. But I know one thing. I felt his touch. And I once was blind, but now I can see, friend. Can you say amen? Oh, listen. Things temporal get a hold of your life. God comes around and shakes you with the Holy Ghost. And that falls to the wayside. Who can tell me who... Well, just let me take a fast poll. How many of y'all watched television in your last night? Just raise your hand. Okay. Travis, I'll pick on you, or I'll pick on somebody back there. Amen. Travis didn't raise his hand. I'll pick on my sister right here in the pit. What did you watch? Watchers, can't even remember it.
No.
Can't even remember it. Did you watch television last night, brother?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you watch?
Not nothing important.
Not nothing important. Good. Can you actually remember what the program was about, or just?
No, grandbaby was there. I was playing with him.
See what I'm talking about? These things are temporal in our lives. Amen. I guarantee you one thing. I shouldn't say it quite this way. If you want to remember things, pick that Bible up and read it. Because when you least expect it, the Holy Ghost will bring that thing back to you. And there it is. Glory to God. Just what I needed in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen, somebody? So these temporal things are going to be shook. Here I have wasted an hour watching a program that I can't even remember what it was about the other day. But I know, I think I enjoyed it. I remember how I felt, you know.
Bless him, Lord.
Nobody else have that problem?
Yeah.
Gloria and I got started, and we still do watch sometime. Reality shows about, I forgot the name of it, I hadn't watched it in so long, but it was about people and their lives, and they murdered somebody and how they caught them and all that sort of stuff. And so, Dateline, what it was. And so, bless your heart, I told Jeff asked me, our oldest son asked me about it one day, he said, y'all watch Dateline last night, Daddy? I said, well, I watched the first half. Your mama watched the second half. I went to sleep in the first half. Or she went to sleep the first half. I went to sleep the second half. We get up in the morning and say, what happened? I think it's called old age.
Come on.
But you understand how these things gain power. I just got to watch it. I just got to watch. They gain power in your life. And it's there because you enjoy it, because you want it. Can't remember the next day what it was all about. Be interested to see how many of y'all could remember Scotty's Sunday school lesson this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Amen. Now he looks around and says, I don't know, but I've been touched by it. You see, when you have an experience with God, it brings an assurance with it.
Amen.
I remember when I first got saved, the very day, the very time, I was saved early in life, backslid. And then came back to the Lord, and after Gloria and I got married. Amen. But I remember that morning, and I went to the altar. It was August morning, our church. We had revival in the morning services then, too. And I went to the altar, and I come walking out the church door, had a porch like y'all's is, and I went to step out, and the devil spoke to me just as plain as anything in the world. He said, you're not saved. I was just a kid, about 12 years old. He said, you're not saved. And I stopped dead in my tracks. And I thought about it for a minute. And I said, why is that important to you today and it wasn't yesterday? You didn't tell me I wasn't saved yesterday, because I wasn't. And I might have went and got saved. But now that something's happened in my life, here you come trying to convince me nothing happened. Why didn't you tell me that yesterday, devil? I said, it's got to be real and something important to you, or you wouldn't have took the time to tell it to me.
That's right. Wow.
I said, you can forget that one. I know what happened to me.
Amen.
But how many of you know you can grow cold on God?
Yeah.
Amen. That's what happened to me. I know an assurance. How many of you have ever had your children do something and you think, oh my Lord, I hope nobody knows who that one belongs to? I'm getting quite a few hands up in the air this morning. Amen. I sure didn't raise them that way. I'll tell you that right now. Can you say amen, somebody? Can't you see God up in heaven above this morning? All them Christians are out of church. He said, Lord, I hope nobody knows who they belong to. Hello? But there's always one that'll step forward and say, Father, they're mine. I love them. I bled and I died for them.
Amen.
And I love them. Father, I'm still working on them. How many of you have learned just because you get saved don't mean you're perfect?
Amen.
I asked Gloria one time, I said, can I ask you something? She said, what's that? I said, did you marry me with the intentions of changing me? She said, of course. I said, how's that working for you after 40 years? She said, working pretty good once I found out how to handle you. I said, how's that? She said, I just sick God on you.
Amen.
I said, that'll do it. I'll change, but I might not change for her, but I'll change for him. Can you say amen, fellas?
Amen.
Amen. So just sick God on them, ladies. You can get them changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, can't you see Jesus up there? That's one of mine. Give me a chance here. I preached a message camp meeting in Carbon Hill one year. I don't know whether I've ever preached it here or not, but I'm doing the best I can with what I got to work with.
Come on.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can't you see God up in heaven? Moses down there, the people in Israel or in Egypt are crying out for deliverance. Their sons are dying, their daughters are dying, they're in bondage. Here's Moses wandering around out in the desert out there hunting a burning bush. And all of a sudden they cried out, God, deliver us. God, deliver. God looked down and shaking his head and said, hey, I'm doing the best I can with what I got to work with. I got a guy up here who won't talk. He can't talk. I can't get him to go.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to hang on till I can get him in the moon. Can you say amen, somebody? God is doing in your life exactly with what you have given him to work with.
That's right. Come on.
Hello? You give him those things that Brother Scotty was talking about, those issues in your life, he'll shake them and he'll get rid of them for you. It's called sanctification. Can you say amen, somebody? All right, let's wind this thing up now. You say, well, Brother Ron, you know, I know an assurance, and I know that God loves me. I know that I've been born again. I know these things, and I know I've given my life over to Him. At any time, anything in my life is displeasing to Him, all He's got to do is shape my life and correct it. It's amen.
Amen.
The story was told to me this way. It was in the newspaper down in Florida. How many of y'all remember when super glue came out? Any of y'all that old?
Yep.
Y'all know what super glue is, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever found anything that tough will stick together except your fingers? I've glued 1,000 things with it and it'll always break except my fingers. If I get some on my finger, can't get them loose. Amen?
Amen.
We were living in California. Jeff and Mark was up so high. I was working on the car. They're running around the yard playing, running by and hitting me and all around. And I told them, I said, boys, I'm in something tedious here. I got to concentrate on it. Y'all go play somewhere else. They just kept coming. Finally, I bought a tube of super glue. I told him, I said, come here, let me show you something. They walked over and I took one of them's finger and put it on there and put it in and stuck them together. I said, now y'all go find something to do.
Wake up, Daddy! They couldn't get loose from each other. In a minute, they come, Mommy, Daddy, get us loose. I said, y'all gonna go and leave me alone then? Yes. Well, I got them loose, and they went home and leave me alone. The story was told in the paper in Florida. True story. Man was on a train. And the train was going, he was going to a destination, and he had to go to the bathroom. He got up and he went to the bathroom, and on the in the train, everything in the bathroom was made out of metal and steel. And so he goes in the bathroom, and somebody had taken a tube of super glue and put it on the seat of the commode, and he came and sat down in it. So when he got up, he stuck to the train. He can't get loose. The train is reaching his destination. They call in the mechanics. They call in the maintenance people. They can't get it loose. And they can't get him loose from it. They finally had to sidetrack the car, bring in the welding crew, and cut the seat loose, and take him and the seat to the hospital and surgically remove him from that toilet seat. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than super glue.
Amen.
And don't you never doubt it. It matters not what you are. He'll stay stuck to you just as long as you'll let him. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
In the midst of my darkest and deepest trials, I have found him always there and always with him. I've had to be shook to get me to see him and recognize him. But how many of you have learned that once you have been in the fiery furnace and found the fourth man, the fiery furnace just don't bother you anymore? Can you say amen, somebody? That's the way God is. Aren't you thankful this morning that your world is shaking? Revelations, Jesus appeared. John, they had problems with John. He was preaching the gospel. They told him not to. He kept preaching. Rome took him. Catholicism took him. And they decided they were going to boil him alive in a pot of oil and oil. They had the oil boil him, dropped him over in it, and the guy wouldn't even boil for him. They decided they were going to put him in the middle of a brass bull and build a fire under it and bake him to death. They put him in there and set their fire, and the guy wouldn't bake for him. What do you do with somebody that won't boil and bake for you? They grabbed him and they put him out on Patmos with all the thieves and the criminals and the vilest of the vile. John looked up in Revelations. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a voice, a sound. And I turned and looked. And he said, I did not know who it was. Said his hair was white. He had on a white robe and a set of keys in his hand. Said, I wasn't looking for him. I was looking for the one I laid my head on at the Last Supper. I was looking for the one that I had spent the many a night with, praying and seeking God.
Amen.
And when I beheld him, I didn't recognize him. But he looked at me and said, behold, John, I am he. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm the one you're looking for. He said, I'll tell you one thing. I didn't recognize him that time. But in little John, he said, the next time he comes, I'll recognize him, for I shall be as he is.
Amen.
The change is coming to you, church. God's going to shake the things of this world in our life. And that which remains is going to be eternal, unshakable and unmovable in your life. I don't care what you're going through now. Let God shake you. He's going to shake you. But come forth as pure gold in the name of
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So let this world around us shake. Let them do what they're going to do. Right in the middle of it, God is still going. When the horsemen have run, of the apocalypse has run,
and the dust is settled, he's still going to be on his throne, and we're still going to be his children. Amen. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Aren't you thankful this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.